Fear generally has one of two effects upon us. It either routs us or it immobilizes us. Either we run away or we stand still.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
I'd like to take a few moments, if I could, to analyze with you some concepts that I believe grow out of Psalm 23 in verse 4. What do you see as you look at that verse? It's a powerful verse and one that's well known to most of us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. As I look at that verse, and we're not going to have the time to look at all this, so I'm going to give you the overview, the outline, and then we'll look at a certain portion of it. As I look at that verse, there are really three ideas that stand out to me in it as our shepherd provides refuge for us. The first thing I see there is adversity. That's the need for refuge. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The second thing I see here is prosperity, the source of refuge. David says, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That says two things to me, really. One, God's presence, thou art with me. And two, God's peace, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You are with me, that's God's presence, and you comfort me, that's God's peace. But the last thing I see is security. I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. I have no reason to be afraid. I'm made secure. That is the effect of our refuge. The need of it, dark valleys. The source of it, the presence and the peace of God. The effect of it, security. I will fear no evil. We are delivered from fear. So that's an overview of the verse. Adversity, prosperity, security. The need of refuge, the source of refuge, and the effect of refuge. Now let me focus on that first part, adversity, the need for refuge. First, let me share with you the properties of adversity. The kind of adversity that God uses most effectively in our lives usually has at least five properties. Let me give them to you in outline form. First, it's irresistible. It seems always to be greater than our ability to resolve it. It has a way of overwhelming us. We can't handle it. And so we're driven into the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He handles it for us. It's irresistible. Secondly, it's multiple. By that I mean that it invariably comes in multiples. When it rains, it pours. It's more than a cliche, it's a truism in the Christian experience. And then thirdly, it is not only irresistible and multiple, it's incomprehensible. That is to say, when adversity comes our way, characteristically, generally, we do not comprehend what is happening to us or why it is happening at the moment. And then the fourth thing I would say about adversity in terms of the properties of adversity is that it's painful, which is not the same as saying that it's harmful. In fact, adversity is very helpful, but we may as well be honest, it's painful. The Bible says, now no chastening, and that's one form of adversity, not the only form. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous, it's painful. The last thing I'd say about it in terms of the properties of adversity is that it's beneficial. Adversity is beneficial. That is to say, adversity, when properly born, have a powerful effect for good in God's people. Paul could say in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, that adversity, tribulation, produces patience, and that produces experience or character, and that produces hope, patience, experience, hope in those who submit to its discipline. And so Paul could say, we glory in tribulation. They're beneficial. God has a benevolent purpose in allowing us to go through adversity. Those are the properties of adversity. Now let's go a step further. What are God's purposes in adversity? Let me just give you a list here. Adversity is, number one, God's way of getting our attention. David could say, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Psalm 119, verse 67. And then secondly, adversity is not only God's way of getting our attention, but adversity, secondly, is God's way of assuring us of his love. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Hebrews 12 and verse 6. It's God's way of assuring us of his love. Thirdly, adversity is God's way of conquering our pride. Pride goeth before destruction. What's destruction? Adversity. And a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16, 18. What's a fall? It's adversity. The Bible says a man's pride shall bring him low. What's that mean? Adversity. There's a fourth purpose. Adversity is God's reminder of our weaknesses. Paul said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. He had adversity. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 to 9. God chooses the foolish and the weak to shame the wise and the strong, so that no man can boast in God's presence. When God works in power through our obvious weaknesses, both we and others are free to give him all the glory and all the praise. Adversity is God's reminder of our weakness. And then adversity is God's way, number five, only have two beyond this. Adversity is God's way of motivating us to cry out to him. When was the last time you cried out to God? When was the last time in intensity you brought your burdens and your needs before the Lord and you cried out to God for his blessing in your life and in the lives of others? Sometimes we don't do that. We grow calloused and insensitive. Our prayer life begins to disintegrate. And God sends adversity, and that adversity is designed to motivate us to cry out to him. So the Bible says, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. And we're taught precisely how we're to cry out to God. That was Psalm 34, 17. We're taught precisely how we are to cry out to God. We're to cry out to God vocally. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Psalm 3 and verse 4. There's an intensity to that cry. The intensity of the cry of a child will determine how quickly the parent will respond. He can detect in his ear the intensity in the voice of that child. And when there's an intensity in our voice, when we cry out to the Lord, God responds and he pours out his blessing and his meaning into our lives. Some of us are not apt to do that unless adversity comes. Then we're to cry out not only vocally but regularly. The Bible says, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Psalm 86, 3. And we're to cry humbly. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Psalm 9 and verse 12. And we're to cry purely. If I regard iniquity in my heart, if I cherish sin in my heart, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Psalm 66, verse 18. Adversity is God's way of motivating us to cry out to the Lord. Number six, it's God's method of purifying our faith. Adversity is God's method of purifying our faith. And so Peter could say, now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, in order that, it's a purpose clause, the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth though be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Peter says, as gold is purified in the flame, so our faith is purified and made strong in adversity. Adversity exposes very clearly and very evidently for every one of us, adversity exposes the futility of putting our faith in anyone or anything other than Jesus Christ. And then finally, adversity is God's way of preparing us to minister to others and comfort them. Do you want to be a real minister of the Lord? You want to be a real servant of the Lord? You can expect a certain element of adversity. God will prepare you to minister to others and comfort them through adversity. So Paul could say, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, all our adversity. Why does God comfort us in all our tribulation or adversity? In order that, literally, purpose clause again, hina, in order that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Our most effective counsel to others will grow out of the counsel God gives to us during periods of affliction and adversity. God has some very powerful and precious purposes in adversity. You may be like David. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You may be like David walking through one of those valleys today. You may be wondering what it's all about. I want you to see the properties of adversity. And I want you to see the purposes of God in allowing adversity. And then very quickly, I want you to notice with me now in Psalm 23 and verse 4, and in particular in the first phrase, what is the proper response to adversity? I believe an insight into that idea is given by David in this verse. And it's my own view that there are four words in that opening phrase, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." There's so many things we could say about this verse. Many sermons we could preach on this one verse. But I believe there are four words in this opening phrase which are designed to strengthen us as we face our dark valleys and enable us to respond to them properly. Now look with me in that phrase and see the four words. First, I believe that a confidence is implied in the word walk. I believe, secondly, that a conveyance is implied in the word through. I believe, thirdly, that a creativity and a compassion are implied in the word valley. And then finally, I believe a conquest, a victory, is implied in the word shadow. Now let's look at these for just a moment. And this will help us to face adversity and respond to it properly. First, a confidence is implied in the word walk. You know, the term walk suggests a calm, deliberate step, the kind of circumstance that would not suggest fear. You know what fear generally does? Fear generally has one of two effects upon us. It either routs us or it immobilizes us. Either we run away or we stand still and we clam up. Fear has one of those two effects. Either it routs us or immobilizes us. David says, "I don't run and I don't stop. I walk." Calm, deliberate step. I have confidence in my shepherd to meet my needs. You know, in our world, all kinds of people are either running or withdrawing from reality. There may be some listening to my voice by the radio. In our world, all kinds of people are either running or withdrawing from reality due to fear. They possess no source of recuperative energy by which to cope with the complexities of life, and there's no wonder. Their problem is that they're spiritual orphans. They have no father. They're like sheep who are cast down without a shepherd. But for the one who can say without hypocrisy, as David could say it, as you can say it if you've been born again, for the one who can say without hypocrisy, "The Lord is my shepherd." For the one who has received from the hand of God rest and refreshment, restoration and regulation already, that one knows full well that he can rely upon his God for refuge. And so when he faces the dark valleys, and he will, he does not run away, nor does he withdraw into his own little hermetically sealed unit so that he's protected from being vulnerable. He doesn't do either of those things. He doesn't run. He doesn't become immobile. He walks. It means that he has implicit confidence in the shepherd to meet his needs. Thank God for our shepherd. He can meet every one of our needs, no matter how dark the valley. We don't have to run. We don't have to withdraw. We can walk calmly and deliberately through the most devastating circumstances. Only Jesus Christ can give that to you.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.